I just want to point out a couple of things on the screen in a minute, so that's why I've got the stick. But someone gave me an article a few years ago about a man in England who in his will had left money for the payment of a person each week in the church to walk up and down the aisle with a stick to poke people who went to sleep. And he'd left money in his will for that to happen. So, yes. Righto, well, we're in chapter 2 of Matthew. And I guess just a reminder from the screen and from your little sheets of paper that today we're looking at Herod the Great. He's the third in the reactions of people. We had Mary, and there was a thoughtful, very thoughtful acceptance that she had, but obviously through her life, heartache and confusion as she thought of things. And then when we come to the cross, like the communion this morning, obviously incredible heartache. The wise men last week, who were so obedient, who were so prepared, who came and obviously came with gifts, realising that this was a very special person. But both involved sacrifice, both involved obedience, and both had communication, whether it was star for one or angel, whatever, there was a response. And friends, we look at these characters and we say, this is us. There is a response, there is a reaction. So this is not just a very happy little Christmas story that we have every year. I mean, what we need to do is to say, well, actually, what is this meaning for me? You know, I've been listening to it for 40 years. What's the relevance? Well, do we take something of relevance? So let's have a look at Herod. And those of you who have got sheets, you can follow. If not, you can follow on the screen. Now, Herod was a bit of a mixture. He was a mixture because he was half Jew and half Edomite, and the nation, the area of the Edomites was not really looked at all that nicely. He helped the Romans, so the Jews didn't look on him all that happily either, because was he on the Roman side or was he on our side? Where did he fit in? Got down the timing there. But he was a great man at keeping the peace, and he built the temple, Herod's temple. So there are achievements from this bloke. He was generous. It is said of one time of him that in the famine of 25 BC, he actually took some of the gold from his own treasury and bought food for those people who were starving. So there's a very kind side to this man. But there was another side to this man. He was jealous and suspicious. And in later life, he became a murderous old man, someone has said. And these are the people he killed. He killed his wife, his mother-in-law, three sons, and then he realised that actually he wasn't liked, and that when he died, he was going to be not mourned at all. So he had 70 distinguished citizens arrested and put in jail a few years before he died. And when he died, there were orders for them to be killed, so that their families would cry and it would look like people were crying over his death. So that's the sort of man that we're dealing with. Generous on one hand, cruel on the other, a real odd mixture of a person. And let me say, some of us are odd mixtures of people too. Yes, it could be said that we're this or we're that or we're the other. Anyhow, this is Herod. Now, on the back of your sheet, because throughout the Bible there are a number of Herods mentioned, this is the family tree of Herod. And this is why I've got this stick, although it mightn't be helpful at all. It might be just more confusing. We've got Herod the Great here, right? One, two, three. They're the three children he had killed. All right. Now, some of you are saying, oh, this is a bit funny. We've got him dying 4 BC. Well, yeah, our calendar didn't just tick over at naught. We just need to be aware of some of the timing. But if you look carefully, you'll see that these two sons were killed 7 BC, so that's 3 years before he died. This son he had killed, I think, 4 days before he died. He had that son killed. So amazing, isn't it, that this was the man. Now, just to put us into the picture with John the Baptist, because he comes under another Herod. This guy here, Antipas, he fell in love with Philip's wife. Philip was married to Herodias. Antipas went to visit Philip and fell in love with Herodias. So Herodias decided to divorce Philip and Antipas to get rid of his wife, and those two became lovers and got married. They, Philip and Herodias, had had a daughter called Salome. So what happened? Well, one night Herodias and Antipas are at a party. He has a few too many drinks, promises her anything that she wants, and she says, I want the head of John the Baptist, because John the Baptist had said, this is immoral that you two have got married and done what you've done. That is against the law of God. Leviticus, if you want to look it up. But that's against the law of God. And Herodias hated John the Baptist for saying that, because it was against her husband. So Salome danced this erotic dance, as we're told. And then he said, right, what do you want? And Herodias, behind the scenes, said, we want John the Baptist's head. And that's the story of the end of John the Baptist. The result of immoral behaviour and reaction and maybe drunkenness or whatever you want to say. But anyhow, that hopefully puts a little bit in the picture. Now, if you've got your Bibles opened, let's go to what actually happens here with Jesus. Well, we've got Jesus born in Bethlehem, and that's fine. The star in verse 3, when Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all of Jerusalem with him. I think if he got troubled, the whole nation was troubled. He upset everyone. And so he got the chief priests and the scribes. The chief priests were the theologians. The scribes were those who understood the law. So he gathered them together. Where's the Christ? He said. And they told him, in Bethlehem. So it's written by the prophet, da 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 da. So then Herod gathers the wise men secretly. Can I say, if we've got questions, if we've got questions about God, let's do it openly. Like, God can answer our questions. We don't have to be secretive. And the problem is, with Herod that he actually didn't get all of the facts. He didn't sort of get all of the story. He didn't understand that the hand of God was behind this. So, friends, we need to be careful. But of course, the king didn't want a threat. He wanted to be king. Now, isn't this the heart of the gospel? Who is going to be King of Kings in our lives? Who is going to be in control? I mean, that's the message of Christmas. That's the message. Well, it's the message of Easter too. But it's the message of Christmas. Here comes a king to rule in a very different way. Herod, you needn't really be afraid. You needn't really be scared, because the rule that Jesus is going to bring is going to be so different. So different. It's a whole different plane. It's a different dimension. It's a different approach. And that's why I say he didn't really get all of the facts. So the challenge, or one challenge for us at Christmas, is, are we happy with the king? Are we happy that Jesus is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and whatever other affirmation we want to give? Are we happy or are we not happy? So let's not say, Herod, how silly of you not to embrace this if we haven't embraced it. And how arrogant really of us to say, I'm a Christian, but I'll do what I want. Because if Jesus really is King or Lord, then we follow him. So, I want to worship him. What a liar he is. I want to worship him. But we know what he wanted to do was really to destroy. Really to destroy. So then the rest of the picture unfolds as the family moves off in different ways. Warned in a dream, led by a star. It's interesting, isn't it, that the way God speaks to us is not always the same. It's not the same for every person, although the word of God is the way he normally speaks. But the other angle is that if God has directed you in one way or by something that you've seen as significant, that's not necessarily the way he's going to guide you again in something else. God is God. So he has the liberty to direct us or guide. Sometimes he guides us through a person. Sometimes through a situation. Sometimes and often through his word. Sometimes an answer to prayer. So don't confine God that because he's done something in one way at one time that he's going to do it in that way every time. Because he's not. He's not. Now, Herod reacts in hatred, hostility and anger. But he didn't know the whole truth. He didn't put the whole thing together. Now, I'm not sure, in situations that you don't understand, how do you react? In a situation that you're not sure about, how do you react? It's interesting, isn't it? Not far from us, there was a neighbour who sold out. And we met him and said, oh, you're moving. He said, oh, yes, it's the neighbours. It's the neighbours. I can't cope with the neighbours any longer. We've tried everything. It doesn't work. All right, so they sold out and moved. And then, by coincidence, we happened to meet one of the neighbours and said, oh, you've lost your neighbours. Oh, we are so glad. We're sort of so glad that the neighbours have gone because their dogs barked all the time. Now, it was interesting to get the two sides of the story. Once you get two sides of the story, you think, oh, actually, there's reasons both ways. Now, the neighbours might have been difficult, but actually the dogs also might have been difficult. So it's always good to get both sides of the story. But in a situation that either you don't understand or that annoys you and irritates you, how do you react? Well, Herod, because he was Herod, reacted, and I've got there, with hatred, hostility and anger. I worked with a lady at one stage. She was a counsellor, and she said that one of the worst situations that she has to cope with, or had to cope with, were angry men. And she maintained that one of the reactions that men often have is anger. So men, we just need to be careful if that's true. Well, this was the story with Herod. Yes, the whole situation of anger and hostility. And in a minute we're going to see how that works out. But with the chief priests and scribes, well, we just want to tell you, Herod, that Jesus, this king, is going to be born in a spot, and yes, that's what the scriptures say, and we just want to keep our job, so we'll just tell you the party line, as it were. Keep our jobs and don't rock the boat. And then we've got the wise men who worshipped, and it was life changing. So the question is, where do we fit? The reaction to Jesus, is there hostility and anger? A lot of people get angry with religious stuff. A lot of people get angry. You can almost feel them heckles rising up when mention is made of anything religious or Christian. Other people, well, we don't care. That's all right. We don't mind, yeah, you Christians, you can do what you want and we'll do what we want and that'll suit us all. And then there are others like us who see Jesus and worship. How wonderful. May that be true for all of us. But then, verses 16 to 18, what a horrible situation. When Herod saw he had been tricked by the wise men, he was in a furious rage, and he sent and killed all of the male children in Bethlehem and in the region who were 2 years old or under. This is interesting because different commentators say different things. Some people say that the 144,000 mentioned in Revelation, that 144,000 children were killed. Others say because of the size of the city, it was probably about 40. Who knows? Can you imagine if you were one of those parents? How horrible. How horrible. I mean, we see a similar situation with Moses when all of the kids were killed. But what a horrible situation, and what a dreadful revenge. Someone's threatening me, so I'll eliminate all of those kids. Very sad, very sad. Those children didn't do anything wrong at all. And it just poses that question, doesn't it? Why do horrible things happen to good people? Why do horrible things happen to good people? 2-year-old. And they lose their life because of the anger and the jealousy and the bitterness of a twisted king. Very sad. Why do good things happen? Sorry, why do bad things happen to good people? Well, because there's evil in the world and there are evil people in the world doing that sort of thing. We might say they're in the wrong place at the wrong time. But it's one of those sad, sad situations. We need to be careful, don't we? That we don't... Now, I'm sure that we're not going to go out and kill someone. But we do react inappropriately sometimes. The reaction is far beyond the situation. Now, in the archives of this church is this colouring in done by a little Everett boy many years ago. How many Christmas carols have the word peace in them? Many of them. Many of them. And what are we told to do? As much as it depends upon me, what am I told to do? Live at peace with everyone. As much as it depends upon me, not depends upon the person who I'm annoyed with, but as much as it depends upon me, live at peace. Now, isn't it hypocritical for us to be singing King of Peace, joy, peace to the world, all of these things, if I'm out of sorts with people? Come on, we are Christians. We react differently. Now, I don't say it's easier, but we react differently. We have the source, the power of the living God to react in a God way. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Peace. So let's not celebrate Christmas and have resentments and angers and annoyances, because we're God's people. We're different. We react differently. We live differently. We've got a different set of rules. We have the Spirit of God within us, who is the Spirit of self-control, of peace, love, joy, all of those things, and self-control. So let's not look at this story and say, oh, isn't it lovely? How dreadful, all those kids killed. The reaction from us could be similar. Not in killing, but maybe in killing the reputation or killing a relationship because of our behaviour. And that's what God's concerned about. Not about the other person, but God is concerned about whether I am prepared to live at peace with other people. Now, the other person or the other people mightn't be interested at all. Well, that's okay. It's my responsibility. My responsibility, just as it was Herod's responsibility. So, irrational behaviour, and sometimes our behaviour can be irrational. So, what do we need to do? Well, what we need to do is this. We need, in a situation, to make sure we've got the correct facts. We also need to make sure that we are prepared to forgive in the way that we've been forgiven. We need to be prepared to live at peace with other people. And we need to remember that it is Christmas. And for those who are believers in Jesus, Christ is the start of that word. He needs to be in Christmas and in our lives. So Herod has stepped into the picture, done horrible things, part of the story of Christmas, and we've got a lot to learn from him. Let's pray. Gracious God, we come before you and we thank you that we can have forgiveness in our experience and in our lives because of Jesus. We thank you that we learn from Herod irrational behaviour, attitudes and anger can be so devastating. So may you turn any of our attitudes from what might be irrational or angry or resentful into attitudes of peace and of hope and of forgiveness. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, have we got the names stuck on the thing? Well, could a couple or a few of the children bring that down, please?